And thank you, Miss Savage, for that song. And I say this every time, I think, that I preach. But some of you need to loosen up. I mean, I'm serious. I wonder what it's going to be like in heaven. You're going to say amen, all right? And you're going to get with a program sooner or later. Might as well start now. And I tell you, I just enjoy church. I love church. I love the songs about God, the praises to Him. I love the preaching. I like everything about it. I even like fellowshipping with some of you. Church, man, it's great. I mean, it's better than the ball game. It's better than the carnival. It's better than any of those things. And you ought to loosen up and get excited about church and enjoy the things of God. I just can't help myself listening to the songs that we sing and such, and that song that Miss Savage just sang, and I don't understand how it doesn't stir you to know that it is God's grace, and it is God's grace that reached each and every one of us that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and without His grace, we'd be doomed to a devil's hell. And I just had to say that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we'll be this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to move quickly. I'm going to try to move quickly, and I do have a lot of information. I'm just going to tell you, when I first started preaching, when I surrendered to preach back in 2001 in Bible college, we would have these meetings with our college preacher boys. We'd go to different churches on a Friday or Saturday night, and we would have a lineup of every one of our preacher boys, and they were probably anywhere in the mix of 30, 40 preacher boys at times, and we would all take about, I think they gave us like 7 minutes, something like that, something unreal. You can't even read scripture in 7 minutes. They'd give us all like 7 minutes, and we'd just get up and we'd preach for 7 minutes. And I thought during that time, man, how in the world am I going to come up with 7 minutes worth of stuff to say? And now I'm thinking, good night, man, how am I going to stop this? Nonetheless, we will get through it. And I would encourage you, man, to sit up, to pay attention, to listen. Let me just say, it's not the person that's preaching, all right, that you need to hear. It's the God of heaven that you need to hear, that I need to hear when the preaching comes forth. Hey, listen, we're not listening because it's somebody that can speak great words, because if you're doing that, you need to get up and leave right now, all right? I don't have great words that I can give you this morning. I only have what God gave me. And I'm going to give it to you the best that I can, the way that God gave it to me, and hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and your life and in my heart and my life as He already has. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you would, let's stand and we'll read several verses and move right along, starting in verse number 1, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would use it today. I pray that you would remove me. God, I've already asked you, God, to fill me with your spirit, your power. God, I don't have words that, Lord, would help anyone other than what you give me. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would Help us, Father, to allow you to speak to our hearts, God. If we don't allow you to speak to our hearts, if we cut you off right now, Lord, and we don't listen for your voice, then God, you're not going to speak to us. But God, if we have open hearts and we have open ears and we sincerely want to hear from you, God, I know that you'll speak to our hearts. And God, you'll use the message to stir us, Lord, to convict us, and Lord, to encourage us. And God, there may be one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, I pray that today they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, I pray you'd help them not to get away from that fact that, Lord, that one day all sinners without Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. God, I pray that you'd be with each believer, that God, you would encourage us to do more for you, to live our lives, Lord, that it'd be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Many of you, if you pay attention to the preaching, you would know that here several months ago, in fact, while you were watching via live stream through the virus circumstances and all, that our pastor preached from this exact passage. And I won't preach his message, all right? I'll promise you that if you were listening in. But as he stood and he preached that message that day, the Lord gave me this message, and it hasn't gotten away from me yet. And I want you to focus on the scripture this morning. There's a little bit of confusion as you read, or it can be confusing, I should say, as you read through these verses, and you might lose track of where you're at and who you are and that kind of thing in the mix of the verses there. And if you want a detailed exposition, if you will, of what's going on here, I'd encourage you to go back to that message. I'm not going to go through everything that's taking place here, or we'll be here till tonight. Amen. But I would encourage you that Paul, in this portion of Scripture, he is encouraging these believers. All right, Paul is writing to believers here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's encouraging them about the end times, about the last days. From a believer standpoint, it appears that we are in what we would know as the last days. We are sitting right on the forefront of, from our standpoint, the end times, if you will. The Lord's return, however you want to put it, as you look around you and as I look around me, and we see the wickedness of the flesh and the prominence of pollution and the passion for promiscuity and the parading of perverseness. You can turn on the TV and you can go to town, and everywhere around you, you can see that the wickedness of mankind is everywhere, and it is very prominent. As you look around you, you see the wanderings of followers, if you will, in following after selfish priorities, as man would put aside the things of God and seek after those materialistic things. You see it in the fact that those followers will find alternate pleasure in maybe some kind of hobby or things of that nature, rather than in Jesus Christ. The wanderings of the followers, it shows up in the fact of those followers that are dabbling or fiddling with sinful pollution, if you will. And can I tell you, we look around us and we see it everywhere around us. The wickedness of flesh and the wanderings of the followers and even the withering of faith, if you will. And how do I see that? I see it in a lack of dependence on God. As Christians that are supposedly grounded in the Word of God, grounded in their faith to God, lack of dependence. They begin to try to figure out how I can do it on my own. As we see a lack of discipline to God, no self-control, not just amongst those that are without Christ, but amongst God's people, a lack of discipline to God. Reading my Bible setting aside time for prayer and just normal discipline that we would have in our lives, a lack of dedication to God. We see that. And so those things we see around us, and as we read the Scripture, we know that those are things that are going to happen as the nearing of the Lord's return will come. It appears that God can only continue to withhold His wrath or withhold the return of Jesus Christ for so long as we would see it. I know that in my younger years, my dad, he would say the same thing. And those old timers, boy, some of them been saying it for years. Boy, the Lord's got to be coming back soon. I mean, it's got to be right around the corner. We see even in the Bible, in the New Testament, how that, boy, even they thought, man, the Lord's got to be coming back soon. I mean, my goodness. And here we are, the year 2020. We're living in what is considered as the church age. We are somewhere between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to set a date this morning. And you can breathe. I don't want to be categorized with those fools, if you will, that have done that. But can I say to you, it must be right around the corner. It must be very near us. It must be right upon us. And with that in mind, that we're living in the time frame of the last days, or the end times, or nearing those end times, can I ask you this question? Are you ready for what's ahead? Are you ready for what's ahead? Paul's writing these believers at Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them about those end times and what would be ahead for them. I'm not going to go through an entire eschatological dissertation, all right? You can rest your mind. But I want to point out a few things here in just a moment. As Paul is speaking to these believers, he encourages them to be watchful, to be ready for what's ahead. And I say to you, there's been times in my life, and you can probably say the same, that things took place in my life and I wasn't really prepared for them. I wasn't looking forward to them. There's also been times in my life where I have been prepared. I think about those different times. I think about times that I was prepared for. I think about in high school as my junior year and my senior year, our high school basketball team, we were heading to Chattanooga, Tennessee for the Final Four basketball tournament for the state. That was none of my help, all right? You can go ahead and put that to the side. But I remember that. I remember, man, we were ready. Boy, as we found out that, hey, you know what? We've been selected to go to this tournament, the Final Four. We're going to represent our school. And, man, we had worked hard all year. I remember Brother Eric, man, running suicides till I couldn't breathe. My legs wouldn't hold up. I remember running laps around that gymnasium, and I can tell you how many towels were on the floor because of it. I can tell you, I remember the sacrifice of time for practice and things of that nature that were given up in order to make that possible. I think about the year I graduated from high school, May the 6th, 1996, just the other day. I remember that. I was prepared for that. I had worked and I had done the work that was necessary, I'll just say that, to get to that platform to receive that diploma. And I remember, man, there'll be no more tests, no more homework. Man, I don't have to get up and go to school anymore. I don't have to deal with the guy sitting next to me trying to stab a pencil lead in my leg. I mean, I don't have to deal with any of those things. No more school. I was anticipating that, man. I had looked forward to that time, man, that I'd be done with school. And some of you teenagers, you can relate. I remember my first job, and I remember looking forward to that first paycheck. Man, it probably wasn't $200, but it seemed like a lot of money. I'd never done anything but cut grass and earned a little bit of change here and there. And I looked forward to that paycheck, and I thought in my mind, man, what in the world am I going to buy? Man, like I had $1 million. But I looked forward to it. I anticipated that. I remember in college, one particular trip that we took as a group. We went to Six Flags in St. Louis, Missouri, and a few of us guys got together, and we'd ride anything that they put in front of us, and they had the big swing there. It'd go up, it'd raise you up 180 feet in the air. Put three of you together, you had to lock arms. It'd raise you up 180 feet in the air, and somebody had to pull the ripcord. I didn't volunteer for that part. And it would send you flying down, and boy, the way they set that up is amazing, but they set it up where there's a barn sitting right there where it looks like you're going to go right through the roof of it, and then you start to climb. And boy, we're standing in line. I remember it just like it was yesterday, standing in line, and we're standing there waiting for our turn. And boy, the next people would go, and we'd step up one more step and say, "Yeah, man, we're getting closer. All right, man, it's just ahead. Boy, I'm excited. Let's do this." And we just thought we were going to have the time of our lives. Finally, we got there, and we did that, and boy, it was just awesome, and we gave high fives and all that good stuff. But we anticipated that. Remember the day I got married, June the 10th, 2010. A long anticipated date. I'd waited for that for a long time. 32 years old before I got married. Man, I was ready to get married. I was anxious for the one that God had for me. I had looked forward to that for quite some time. And boy, I was ready. I had purchased a home and man, tried to set things in order the best that I could. I was ready. I anticipated that. I remember when our first child was born, Bryson, November the 24th, 2012. We had a name picked out. We had the room set up, and you know what it's like. We had anticipated that. We're just waiting on the time that she said, "All right, it's time to go." We were waiting for it. We're anticipating. But on the flip side of that, I remember times that I wasn't prepared. I remember times I wasn't anticipating what was before me. I remember that finals test that was coming up on Friday, and I hadn't studied a lick. And I thought, "Lord, I am not ready for this. Are you kidding me? I don't even know how to answer some of these questions." I wasn't anticipating it. I didn't take the time to study and know the information that I needed to know. I think about those practices after a loss in high school and basketball. Boy, I didn't anticipate those. And those of you that have played sports, you know what I'm talking about. Man, the coach would run you till you couldn't run anymore. Man, it was going to be the worst practice ever. I didn't anticipate that. In fact, I wanted to be sick if possible. I can remember those oral book reports. Caleb Crowley is smiling at me. I'm thinking he knows where I'm at. I remember those oral book reports where I hadn't even started the book, much less finished the book. I didn't know the main characters in the book. I couldn't tell you anything about the book. And I was supposed to get up and tell everybody else what happened. Wasn't anticipating that. I remember facing my father after a mistake. Boy, I wasn't ready for that. When I knew, I think about a time my brother and I were playing pitch in the backyard, and we just didn't have enough sense of where to set up. He was a pitcher, I was a catcher, and he pitched the ball, and man, we had done it 1,000 times, but this one time he pitched the ball, and there it went a-sailing. And I missed it, and before we could do anything, right through the window. Dad was at work, Mom was at work. We thought, man, what kind of story can we make up? We got to think of a good one. We were not anticipating when Dad got home. You think about talking to the insurance company after an accident, and some of you can relate to that. It's not an anticipated thing. Can I tell you, though, there have been times in my life and in your life as well that you can attest to that we've been unprepared for and not anticipating. Can I tell you, there's a time ahead of us that is quickly approaching of which not one of us can afford to be caught off guard. We must be prepared. You say, "Well, what's ahead, Brother Nichols?" Let me just say to every husband and wife, man, woman, boy, and girl, teenager, wherever you fit in the category, grandma, grandpa, it doesn't matter. Let me just say to you, you better get your things in order. Don't be lackadaisical in your attitude. Get on your toes for what's ahead, as Paul would essentially say to the audience at hand. Hey, be watchful. Be ready. Don't be alarmed. Get ready for what's ahead, he would say. I would ask you, Are you ready for what's ahead? Let's look to the scripture. I just want to point out a few things. We'll move quickly. Number one, are you ready for what's ahead? I see in the scripture, number one, verse 1 through 3, we'll read it in just a minute, the snatching away of Christians. The snatching away of Christians. Paul uses a phrase here. We'll look at it here in just a moment. But Paul uses a phrase here, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now, and your pastor pointed this out several weeks ago, but I want to remind you, as Paul speaks about the day of the Lord, he's not speaking about a specific 24-hour period, a day as we would know it. He's speaking about an era of time. The day of the Lord. It will begin at one point, but then it will continue to go on. And he uses that phrase. Look at verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number... we'll just read to verse number 2. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And I know the context of the scripture. I know that Paul is writing to believers, but for the sake of application to those under the sound of my voice this morning, I want to ask that question, are you ready for what's ahead? Namely, that of which is the snatching away of Christians. And if I could have the attention of every person this morning. But I think it's that serious that you hear what I'm about to say. The Word of God records in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, just above where we read, verse number 16 and 17. Let's look at it. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 37. The Bible says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come." Understand that word. He that shall come. There are many that say, "Oh, he's not coming. He's been hearing that for years, that the Lord's coming back. He's not going to come. I mean, he should have already come if he's going to come." But the Bible says that he that shall come, he's going to come, friend. He that shall come will come and will not tarry, the Bible says. You understand, friend, here today, listen, that in God's timetable, the next major event is that of the rapture of the believers. I wonder, as you sit here this morning, are you ready for what's ahead? Are you ready for that snatching away of Christians? If that trumpet were to sound right now, hey, listen, friend, if that trumpet were to sound right now, would you be in that group that will be caught up? Would you be in that group? I'm afraid that there may be many that are not able to answer that honestly. They're not able to say, "Yes, I'd be in that group." Can I say to you, those that are believers, you can heartily say, "Amen, I'll be in that group. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." But can I say, that's not the answer for everyone amongst us today, I don't believe. There are some in this auditorium, in this group today, that you've never humbled yourself before an almighty God in recognition that you're a sinner with a debt and that Jesus is a Savior with a settlement in acceptance of the free gift of salvation, friend. Might I just remind you, every young person, every old person alike, and in between there, can I remind you that this is no fairy tale story. This is no story where it's just a bad situation, you know, where the stepmother is mistreating the stepdaughter and the prince rides in and saves the day. Hey, that's not what we're talking about, friend. It's no make-believe story. Some of you are playing with your eternity and you're living on a hope that if the rapture takes place and you're not ready, that God would be gracious to you and give you one last chance. Might I remind you here today, friend, hey, God is being gracious to you, friend, in allowing you the opportunity to trust Christ. Can I say, you better settle the matter before it's too late. You better settle the matter once and for all, because rest assured, friend, as the song goes, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Can I tell you, friend, you better be ready. Are you ready for what's ahead? Hey, listen, it could be before the next breath that you take. Hey, it could be before the service end. It could be before the invitation time here today. Can I tell you, Jesus could return. Are you ready? There have been those that have tried to look past it. There have been those that have tried to deny it, and there are those that wish it weren't true. But can I tell you, the fact of the matter is, as Jesus said in John 14, verse number 3, I will come again. He said, I will come again to those disciples. He said, you don't have to wonder, you don't have to doubt, but I will come again. And can I remind you, everyone under the sound of my voice here this morning, Jesus, one day will return to this earth. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for what's ahead? Don't wait another minute, young person. Listen, there's teenagers in here. You're playing with your soul. Hey, listen to me. You need to get it settled. There's mamas and daddies with, I believe with my whole heart, that haven't got it settled. They're playing church. They're playing different roles that they aren't. And friend, one day, Jesus will return. Don't you wait another minute. Sir, ma'am, church member, hey, listen, choir member, deacon, usher, don't wait another minute. Hey, be ready, be alert, be watchful, as Paul would encourage those believers that day. I'm amazed that not one level-thinking individual here today, you would take a .357 revolver, and you wouldn't take that revolver and play a game of Russian roulette. Russian roulette, you take the revolver and you open that drum up and you throw one bullet in there and you take that drum and you spin it. You put that barrel to your head and pull the trigger with the hopes that that cartridge didn't land in the firing lane. Not one of you would do that. Oh, but can I tell you, there's many that are doing that with their souls. There's some under the sound of my voice this morning, you're doing that with your souls. You're playing the game of Russian roulette. You're thinking, well, you know what, God will let me be exempt from it. No, He won't, dear friend, because He's a just God. He's given you opportunity. He's given me opportunity to accept the gift of salvation. Can I remind you, without Christ as your Savior, hey, listen, the best that it's going to get for you is now. Why? Because you're condemned. You're already condemned, the Bible says, without Christ, to the flames and the separation and the torment and the agony and destruction and pain, corruption and the never-ending wrath of an almighty God. Are you ready for what's ahead? Think about it today, friend. Oh, if I weren't ready, I wouldn't wait another minute. Hey, you don't have to wait till the end of this service. You can get up. We've got folks that will get up. They'll go in a side room with you right now and show you how that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait till this church service ends. Don't you wait till tomorrow, friend. Don't you wait till next week. Hey, listen, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait another minute. You say, well, I'm afraid what people might say. I'm afraid what my parents might think. I mean, they thought I've been saved for a long time. And they might be disappointed. And the preacher, he might not know how to act. Can I tell you, there's not one believer in this room right now that if you were to get up and you were to come down here and you were to accept Christ as your personal Savior, they wouldn't shout the roof down, friend. Are you ready? Are you ready for what's ahead? Hey, personal inventory. Personal inventory. Everybody ask yourself that way. Am I ready? Am I ready for the snatching away of believers? Oh, listen, friend. When that time comes, that day of the Lord, it'll begin with the rapture of believers. And Jesus will come to the clouds. He'll call up those that are believers. They'll be snatched away. And you know what? It'll kick off a 7-year tribulation time of which your mind can't even imagine the things that'll be experienced. And that's just the beginning. And then to face an eternity. You know, our minds can't fathom that. We don't register. What is eternity? We don't know what that looks like. You know, 60 years, 70 years, that's a long time, man. That's nothing like eternity. Friend, listen. For eternity. Not, hey, God's going to put me in hell for a while, and then He'll come back, and He'll say, all right, your time's up. Come on now, for eternity. forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you can't even think how long. You'll be in hell forever. Oh, it's not worth passing up an opportunity. Friend, can I encourage you, take care of that matter today. Are you ready for what's ahead? First of all, I see the snatching away of Christians. Second of all, I'll point out this. I see the standing of for the Creator. Are you ready for what's ahead? Standing before the Creator. Paul reminds those believers, as I'm a sickler too, that every one of us need to be reminded of the fact that one day every believer will stand before the God of heaven. Every believer, you say, oh, I'll be absent that day. No, you won't. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My last point was for the unbeliever. These last couple of points, they'll be for the believer. I want you to think. You say, man, I'm out of that group. I mean, man, I know I'm on my way to heaven. But we're going to fit you in somewhere. Verse 6 through 8, I want you to look there real quick. The Bible says this, therefore let us not sleep, as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. At any moment, friend, listen. Any moment, trumpet could sound. Believers will be raptured. This will begin what's known as the tribulation period on earth, during which in heaven every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't get it mistaken with the great white throne. You don't want to be there. But the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer will stand before God. Thankfully, we won't stand before Him to answer for our salvation, whether we're saved or not. Amen? We'll stand before Him for what we've done in this body. We'll give an account. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, thank God, our salvation is secure in Him. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, but friend, can I tell you, we'll stand before Him. We'll give account of what we've done for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm trying to move quickly. I know what time it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. Bible says, for we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ. Notice that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Judgment seat here is translated from a Greek word, bema, if you will. You've heard the bema seat. Bema is a term that they used in the old ancient Greek games, and it was a place where someone would sit there and they would award the respective winners from that bema seat. Also a word that in the Roman world, it was a seat that would be of justice, as the judge would issue his judgment there. A few examples in the Scripture, Jesus, He stood before what be known as Pilate's bema seat. John chapter 19, verse 13. Paul, he stood before what would be known as the bema seat of Festus. Acts chapter 25, verse number 6. The bema seat in heaven would be a seat of both. It would be a seat of reward. It would also be a seat of loss. You do understand, friend, that you can earn rewards. You can also lose those rewards. Unfaithfulness. Things of that nature. It'll take away that reward. And it'll be a time of excitement. Man, we'll be excited and we'll be praising the Lord. But may I remind you, it won't be all about that. It'll also be a time of sorrow. It'll be a time of disappointment, if you will. We'll stand before our Creator, and let me just say, we'll be what is known as an open book. The one who sees all things. The one who knows all things. He knows my motives. He knows my heart. He knows what my intent was. Listen, friend, one day we'll stand before the Creator. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Word manifest there comes from a Greek word, phaneros, means visible, plain, known, or open. Think about that. What we do for Christ, one day it'll be opened up. We'll say, well, here's the real motive behind that. Did you do it for Christ? Why did I do what I did? Or why didn't I do what I could? Listen. Or who was I trying to please? Or whose praise did I seek? Listen, friend, we'll stand before the Creator. We will give an account for our walk, our work, our worship, our witness. It'll be an open book. Won't be any hiding it. Won't be any, well, I'm gonna work on the bus route because Mom and Dad, you know, they want me to, but I really don't want to be there. But I'll go because they want me to. Or whatever the case may be. Will be an open book. I'm not talking about, listen, friend, we have a hard time understanding this sometimes, but I want you to understand, I'm not talking about going to the principal's office, all right? I used to hate that, by the way. Go to the principal's office, man, you just never knew what was going to happen. But I'm not talking about going to the principal's office. I'm not talking about answering to your boss for a mistake that was made. I'm not talking about even teenagers standing before your mom and dad and having to answer to them for why you didn't do what you should have done or why you did what you shouldn't have done. And for some of you men, I'm not even talking about standing before your wife. I'm talking about standing before the very Creator. I remember as a child standing before my dad. And my dad, a lot of you know him, or knew him, I should say. He wasn't a real, unless he was witnessing, in-your-face jerk, if you will. But man, you know, there's just something about daddies that it scares you. And I remember standing before my dad and knowing that I was in the wrong. Knowing that... Yeah, you idiot, you ain't getting out of this. You did it and there's no way around it. I remember that. Some of you can relate to that. And for some reason, it seemed that I always got the sups. How many of you know what the sups are? You know, the you get to crying, you can't even catch your breath. And I didn't think it was funny. Now I almost think it's funny when my kids are doing it. I'm like, catch your breath, kid, good night, calm down. But I always, as I'd get before him, man, he'd suddenly look at me in my eyes. Yes, sir. You know what you did, right? Yeah, Dad, I know. You know, and boy, we'd go through that whole long, I'd rather just him beat me with the rod than have the talk. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. But I remember that feeling and standing before my dad and knowing that I disappointed him, knowing I'd let him down, knowing I'd done what he told me. Don't you do? I remember that feeling. I've stood before my dad in those situations, and I've stood before my principal and stood before a judge, and come on, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And I remember that feeling of guilt. And man, wonder what's going to happen. I remember that very well. But I want you to think about the magnitude of standing before the Almighty God. Think about that. Standing before God, that we can't give him an excuse. Well, God, you know that he already knows. You're not getting out of it, buddy. Listen, you're standing before God Almighty, and you can't shift the blame and say, hey, it was his fault or her fault or mom and dad's fault or whatever the case may be. Hey, listen, he already knows. You can't use the excuse of, I didn't know, or, hey, you can't say, hey, give me a second chance. No, listen, friend. The curtains are going to be opened. The motives, the intents are going to be exposed. And there's some that are sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that you think that because you put on a nice outfit and you come to church on Sunday that, hey, listen, you're ready for what's about to happen. But what about, friend, listen to me, that opportunity that you had to serve the Lord that you didn't take? What about that opportunity to give the gospel to that lost individual that you said, no, God, I don't have time for that? What about those times in my life that I didn't take the opportunity that God put before me? Opportunity to influence others for the cause of Christ. Book of Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 2, the Bible says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Are you ready? Are you ready for what's ahead? Are you ready for the snatching away of believers? Are you ready to stand before the Creator? And then last of all, let me ask you this, are you ready for the second advent of Christ? Look at verse number 10. Not going to leave you on a sour note. We want to leave you on a positive note. Verse number 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Don't be confused by the rapture of the believers and the second coming of Christ. Many folks intertwine these. They're not the same. Rapture of the believers, listen, Jesus is coming to the clouds to call us out, believers. Second coming of Christ, Jesus will come back to this earth to rule and to reign. First coming of Jesus, He came as a redeemer. The next time that He comes to this earth, He's coming as a ruler. Revelation chapter 19, turn there if you would. Revelation 19, we'll read several verses here. Starting in verse number 11, look at it. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I remind you, friend, listen, when Jesus returns, He'll return to rule this world once and for all. He'll set things in order. And can I remind you, hey, the Romans won't stop it. The Muslims won't stop Him. The atheists won't stop Him. Hollywood won't stop Him. And can I say Antifa won't stop it. He's coming to rule and reign once and for all. Oh, and listen to me, though this will begin by the Lord Jesus ruling, and there'll be much bloodshed, and it will seem to be a very gruesome time for the believer. Can I say to you, it'll not be a time to hold your head down in despair. Hey, listen to me. It's a time that Satan will be devoured, sin will be banished, and the Savior will begin to be exalted. And it'll begin with what seems as gruesome, but it'll develop into a new heaven and a new earth. A time in which we haven't ever seen. A time in which we can't fathom. A time in which we don't know. Oh, but friend, you can look forward to it. Revelation chapter 21, just a couple of pages over from where we were. Look there. Revelation 21, verse number 1. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, friend. Oh, can I tell you, boy, we've got something to look forward to. If you're a believer, hey, listen to me. You can be prepared for the second coming of Christ. Hey, listen, it's a time for Christians to look toward. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Can I say to you, hey, there's coming a day, friend, listen, when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Hey, there'll be no more sin, friend, listen to me. There'll be no more Satan, no more separation. There won't be sorrow, no sadness. Won't be any second class citizens, friend, listen to me. Won't be any single parent homes. Hey, listen, friend, there won't be any senior citizens. There won't be any surgeries. And some of you, amen, right here, there'll be no more sermons. There won't be any need for a sermon, friend. Listen to me. We'll be in the presence of an almighty God. Won't be any sanctuaries, friend. Won't need them. We'll be in God's presence for all of eternity. It's a time for us to look forward to. There are those here today that you've buried loved ones and you've had great heartache and sorrow in your life. And listen to me, friend, there's coming a day we won't experience that again. But friend, we'll be in a perfect place, a place where there is no sorrow. Boy, I'm looking forward to it. Are you ready? Are you ready for what's ahead? The snatching away of Christians. Boy, if you're lost here today, I wouldn't wait another minute. I'd take care of it. The standing before the Creator. Hey, listen, your walk's not where it ought to be. Listen to me. That's something we all have to work on from time to time. Can I tell you? Oh, listen to me. Don't you be embarrassed if you come to this altar and you pray and ask God, God, help me, I failed you this week. Listen, all of us have been there and all of us are there every week of our lives. We need to seek God's face. And we need to say, God, I need your help. God, I can't walk this walk as a Christian in my own power. I need your power because, God, I'll give into the flesh. And God, I'll do those things that I shouldn't do. I need you. Remember, we'll stand before the Creator. Oh, you don't want to stand before the Creator with things out of sort. Mm-mm. I love to be able to stand before my dad when I got good grades on my report card. That was awesome. Man, I didn't have to worry, man. I didn't get a whipping for getting good grades, man. I got paid for getting good grades. It was awesome. I loved it. But I didn't want to stand before him bringing home a report card that wasn't pleasing. How about you? What kind of report card are you going to take with you? Be pleasing? Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning. You need to make things right with God. Hey, don't pretend like they're okay. Listen, we might know or we might never know that things were out of sort, but there's a God in heaven that knows. And one day, listen, one day it won't be hidden. It'll be exposed. And then are you ready for the second advent of Christ? I used to have a pastor that say this. He'd say for two reasons you ought to go to the altar. And some of you heard this before. But he say, number one, because God spoke to your heart. He say, number two, you ought to go to the altar because God didn't speak to your heart. And many times he would end by saying the second is probably worse than the first. Don't be afraid to use this altar. That's what it's here for. Boy, we have to come. We have to make things right. Listen, if you're an unbeliever here today, we'll have invitation time here in just a moment. And that very first note, listen, don't you hesitate. Don't you say, I got next week. Man, you leave that pew. You come down that aisle, let us take a Bible, let us show you how that you can trust Christ as your Savior. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love to us. Thank you for the Word of God that speaks to our hearts, God. And Lord, I ask you that, Lord, you'd use the message this morning. God, would you speak to hearts? There's one under the sound of my voice right now that, Lord, in their mind as the preaching was taking place, they know. They know within themselves they're not ready. Whether that be that they're not saved, Lord, or whether that be that they're not right with you, they know and you know. God, I pray that we would take the steps that are necessary in our personal lives. Lord, that our fellowship, our relationship would be what it ought to be with you. Use the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's